Ron Van Dam, living proof that there is life after 40 for retired male strippers. Shake that thing, big dog, you still got it. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Shouldn't you just be, like, listening to music or something? Why are you here? Are you trying to prove your endurance or something? Or your tolerance level? What are you doing here? Got a lot to talk about today, so I hope you're ready for this. Put some shoes on and damn it, wear those pants, will you? So many people listen to this program without pants on. To be honest with you, it intimidates me just a bit. There you go. That's better. Thank you. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. You can deliberate later. Do it on your own time. I got a series of emails yesterday from listeners who were on point with me about something, and I can't believe you agreed with me on any given subject. But apparently a lot of you were pissed off that when you did jury duty, the courts didn't pay for your parking. You're really pissed about that. Good, good. I'm glad. It's an uprising, ladies and gentlemen. It's an uprising. I've been watching the insurrection trials, I call them. I'll tell you something. The Attorney General is considering indicting Donald Trump for trying to stop the government from doing their constitutional duties. And the other thing, which is kind of even more criminal than that, as bad as that is, which is a treasonous situation, Trump did indeed, and there's proof, commandeered phony votes. Actually, he actually commandeered documents that were fraudulent as electoral votes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Garland is the Attorney General of the United States. Say hello to him. He's right here. What he said so much resounds in my head and should resound in every single American's head, and that is no one is above the law. For a country that says that all men are created equal, certainly does not follow what it's written. All men are not created equal. All women are not created equal. All people are not created equal. It is different for everybody. If you have a lot of money, you can get out of any kind of legal trouble you want. You don't have to show up when you're summoned to court. You don't have to. You can fight it. If you're poor and you don't have the connections, you're in jail. That is not equal at all, not even close. And nobody is above the law, whether it be a president or someone who works at McDonald's. And I didn't mean that to be demeaning to someone who works at McDonald's. I just couldn't come up with anything else that was opposite the president. The job comparison. No one's above the law. And if that's a lesson that must be learned, then damn it, that's a lesson that must be learned now. So, you know, go do it. And I'll tell you something, for you Republicans that are running scared of this Trump guy, figuring, well, if I don't vote for him, he'll kill me. First of all, that is possible. And secondly, if Trump were out of the picture, the Republicans could have an incredible resurgence. They could. If they had a decent candidate who had morals and conducted his or herself in a very respectable manner, they could do pretty good. That could be a turning point of popularity for Republicans. But if you're going to hitch your wagon to what we call in the industry a douchebag, a crazy one at that, then your wagon's going to go off the rails, honey. So I think removing Trump from everything, having him in a cell somewhere, would probably put this country on a very nice, even course, even perhaps by a good, respectable, impressive Republican. I don't know. You know, there are issues in our country going on all the time, you know, different policies and things. Republican, Democrat, you know, to me, yeah, if someone makes a difference in policy, yeah, here and there. I've lived through Republican presidents. I lived through Democratic presidents. As long as they're respectful, it's okay. I don't care who it is. But you lose that respect and you act like a moron and you start shutting people out and get power hungry, I'm afraid there's no place for you here. Not in this country. Thank you so much. Have a nice day. All right, I got that off my chest. It was on my chest. I was walking around and it was actually on my chest. Now it's off my chest. Apparently the weight of the world is on my chest. I don't know. In a lighter note, my gosh, we're hitting another lottery pinnacle. Apparently now the Mega Millions, now the prize is up to over $1 billion. I didn't know that was possible. Over $1 billion, ladies and gentlemen. Now I can get that steak that I wanted from the supermarket. $1 billion. Do you know what I would do if I won $1 billion? Well, first of all, about, I think, 30% of it would go to the government, which is fine. I'd be left over with a very sizable amount, probably something around $750 million. Oh, no. That's all. What I would do, I'd just give $1 million to hundreds of people that I know. Just make some people have happy lives if money can buy you happiness. And believe me, and I don't know this for a fact personally, but money does not buy you happiness. It buys you drugs so that you kill yourself is what happens. Yeah. Unless you have incredible stability and responsibility in your head, when people give you millions of dollars, you're gonna screw yourself up. I know a lot of people that had run into a lot of money actually in the lottery itself, and their demise was met very quickly. It is a curse to win the lottery, ladies and gentlemen. Is it a curse to win $1 million, $2 million? No, that's nice. Is it a curse to win $750 million, $1 billion? That's a freaking curse that you would not believe. You got to hire more security guards than you can imagine. Your privacy is killed. You fear for your life. You can have anything you want and you get it and you die from it. It's not good. It's not good to win the lottery. I'm not playing the lottery for that very reason. I don't want the headache. It would be too much on my chest. And yet I am drawn to the convenience store anyway. That's where I get my lottery tickets when I do play, the convenience store. That's where you go. Stand in line. You get these scratch tickets, lottery tickets. It's really all the stores are for. They shouldn't call it the convenience store. It's the lottery store, let's face it. Anyway, Do you ever see the people sitting there? They actually sit in the convenience store playing lottery for hours at a little table in the corner. Ouch, ouch. Ooh, sorry. But you know what they say, ladies and gentlemen? Apparently, your chances of winning this particular lottery, and probably many of them, but your chance of winning this billion-dollar payout with the Powerball and all that is one in, I think it's 300 million or something like that, or almost one in a billion. It's just the chances are so bad, it's not funny. There's nothing in life that you would take any money and bet on when the chances were that horrendously ridiculous. People compare it to being struck by lightning. How about being struck by lightning 20 times? I mean, it's impossible. And yet we're drawn to doing this for some reason. I think it's the challenge. You're not going to win a lottery. Oh, yeah? Watch this. Yeah, we're drawn to it. But they say, as bad as your chances are for winning, if you don't play at all, your chances are even worse. You know what? They're not that much worse. They're not that much worse than if you actually played. Isn't that pathetic? And yet, most of us will do this. We'll throw a couple of bucks to the wind, and we'll do this. Because it's the chance, it's the hope. See, we don't have any hope anymore. There's no second coming. Jesus is not coming down from a mountain or anything like that. I mean, we've waited for him and waited for him. We cooked dinner. He never showed up. The Holy Ghost never even showed up. I mean, that is not working out for some reason. Just when you need the second coming, it's not coming. So we don't have much hope really anymore. These perfect storms are becoming normal. Normally a perfect storm. So we don't have much hope. The only hope we have is the lottery. That's our poster child of hopes and dreams. I dream someday to be successful. That's not going to happen. I dream someday to win the lottery. That's not going to happen either, but your chances are better. So I do the quick picks because I have no time to pick it myself. That's why I do the quick picks. The numbers are so randomly ridiculous. There's no reason that I should be picking them. I mean, seriously, if you're going to start picking numbers based on people's birthdays, oh, come on. Yeah, fate. Fate knows your daughter's birthday or how old your grandmother is. Come on, man. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. The smartest thing you can do if you work in an office or something like that, or you have a bunch of friends, I don't have that, but I don't have either of the two suggestions that I just made. You pool it. Everybody puts a dollar in, and you make a verbal contract, which, by the way, will not be enforceable and will not even exist if one of those people win. They're going to say fuck you, and that'll be the end of that. But you pool your dollars in, so you have like 100 tickets. Then your chances are better, not that you will win, but that you will lose the $100. Or you could take the money and throw it out the window and let a squirrel run off with it. I don't know. I don't. This is never. Lotteries have never worked out for me. They never will. But the dream is still alive. But again, I don't want to win that kind of money. I would actually give away most of it. If I won that much money, I would give away almost all of it. Really. I keep enough where I'd be comfortable for the rest of my life and be able to take care of my family and my friends and that kind of thing. But otherwise, I'd just give it away. I just don't know who I would give it to. I would have some kind of bizarre contest that probably involves sexual acts. Anyway, I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program, and I guess we're about 15 minutes in now, so you're halfway through this thing. Congratulations. Your tolerance level has just gone up quite a bit. Congrats to you. I win $1 million. They did a survey recently. I don't know who they are, by the way, but I read a survey somewhere, so this holds no water whatsoever. But the survey said that most people, if they won a lottery, would not quit their jobs. And that is, you know, that's the poster child for winning the lottery is, oh, I'm going to quit my job. Now I can quit my job. But they don't. They don't quit their job. Here's the luxury of winning the lottery. You don't quit your job. You just don't give a shit anymore. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful feeling. Bob, we'd like you to fly to Chicago and spend the weekend there and do an audit for us, go through all the papers. And you know what? No, I won the lottery last week. I'm not going. You can fire me if you want, but I'm not going. And by the way, your sister's ugly. How dare you? Fire me. Go on. I don't care. Oh, what a luxury that would be. What a luxury. Or just to go to work and realize, you know, I don't have to do this. I'm doing it because I care for the little people and I want to help out society in this particular company, but I don't have to be here. I don't need you people. I don't need you. You know what I would do with a lot of the money I won in a gigantic lottery? I would give it to people that have been struggling financially for most of their lives. Poor people, I wouldn't call them poor. I would just say that they've been struggling and hurting. And I would give them enough money so that they wouldn't be hurting at all anymore for the rest of their lives. Because they've struggled enough. That's what I would do with most of the money. And that's what everybody should do with most of the money. Keep enough for yourself so you're perfectly comfortable and happy the rest of your living days. Don't get me wrong. But you don't have to be an asshole about it. Give it away to people that really, really need it. That's how I keep my friends. I tell them that just so they know that if I ever won the lottery, I'd take care of them. And you'll be surprised how many friends you have. You never have to win the lottery. Just have that attitude. It works pretty good. But it is true. I would do that without question in my mind. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, my guest is going to be joining us momentarily. But before the guest does, someone has to pay for this. You've made it very clear that you are not going to be the one that does that. So instead, there's this.
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger, but that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still, that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy if you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Hello, Ron.
Hi, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Great. Dr. Jeff Werber is practicing veterinary medicine. He's been doing it for over 30 years. Oh, my God. He's one of the few actively practicing veterinary medical journalists in the U.S. Hey, good to speak to you. We always like to talk to veterinarians. I always get them confused with vets, and I always say thank you for your service. But thank you for your service anyway.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, it's funny, we always say when we speak, when we write, we always try to use the full word veterinarian because of that. Because we say, wait, are you a car? Are you an ex-army? When are you going to be a vet?
Exactly. you know, we're talking about, we're talking about pet scratching, and then we're getting into some other things. But I have a dog. Dog is scratching constantly, no matter, you know, and I do the monthly flea treatment and things like that. Is it normal for a dog to scratch at itself continually?
Well, it's normal for a dog to scratch occasionally. Once it becomes continual, when it becomes bothersome, when it actually interrupts their regular activities like eating and playing and chasing that ball, or they're rubbing and scooting and, you know, chewing on themselves, then it's not normal. And, you know, it leads to problems. It's often, especially this time of year, but it can happen all year, dogs scratch because of allergies. They don't sneeze. They don't have the runny eyes. They don't have the scratchy throat like we do. They actually scratch. And they itch. And they, as I said, they rub and they chew. So, it is obviously something to be reckoned with, and the more they do it, and I'm sure you've seen dogs that have scabs along their back and fleas, and there are many allergens that are affecting them, not only the pollens that affect us, but it's also things around the house. It could be, obviously, their food. It could be house dust. It could be house dust mites. It could be tobacco smoke, wool and cotton and certain flowers in the house. There are so many possible allergens in a dog's environment. So it's really important to understand when your dog's itching is too much itching. And we talk about, I have a great website that I direct pet owners to, and it's called youranimalinstinct.com, all one word, Your Animal Instinct, sponsored by Zoetis. And basically within the site, you can learn more about canine allergy, and you can take a quiz. It's called the Itch Instinct Quiz. And what this quiz does, it really will help clarify whether or not your dog's itching is a little too much. And if so, it will direct you, of course, to see your veterinarian.
Great.
And another program that Zoetis has been sponsoring and is tied in, as you mentioned, to the canine itch.
Yeah.
It's called the Canine Courage Program.
What is that?
And it's a wonderful program that is providing healthcare assistance to retired military and police dogs, as well as to active service dogs assisting veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. So when that quiz is taken, that triggers a donation by Zoetis to this Canine Courage program.
Very cool.
It's really a win-win-win.
Okay.
We're going to be helping our pets. You're going to learn more about your dog's itch, helping these service dogs and helping the veterans whom these service dogs are helping. So, you know, as I said, it's a wonderful program.
So there is a connection between veterinarians and vets.
Absolutely. How do you like that?
So
the veterinarians helping the vets. And also, more importantly, with the completion of the quiz and learning more, you will learn more about some medications, new medications especially.
Yes.
Because typically in the past, and I, as well as other veterinarians, have been resorting to, of course, the antibiotics, as you mentioned, to treat the secondary infections associated with this, but also things like corticosteroids and immunosuppressive agents. And they are effective, but they also have side effects. Whether it's excessive drinking and excessive urination, liver problems, increased appetite. Obviously, it's a problem, but yet it's been worth it because we were helping our dogs. Well, now there's a new medication by Zoetis called Apoquil, and it is the best. I mean, I hate to talk about a dog allergy, but it's a cat's meow. I mean, it is not to be used on cats, but it's for dogs. And it is the first medication of its kind that actually attacks the canine itch at its core without the side effects. And honestly, I've had clients call me and have seen results within 2 hours.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. is great.
I wish I could take this stuff because I have allergies.
I know people have asked me, can I take it? No, it's just for dogs, but it is really effective and safe and without the side effects. Yeah. So, you know, my the way I look at the program is between the medication, the Apoquil, between the canine, you know, learning more about the canine itch, the itch instinct quiz, youranimalinstinct.com. We are doing so much for our dogs and for the very special dogs that are helping our veterans.
Great. Is licking also an allergic kind of reaction like scratching? Because my dog always licks a lot themselves as well.
Absolutely, especially when they're kind of rolled over and they're licking either their feet.
Yeah,
they're licking their feet a lot, we often think of food allergy or pollen allergy, or they're licking their groin area. And again, that also is going to be pollen allergy.
I thought that was for pleasure.
Oh yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah, that might be too, but I would worry about that. And then of course the chewing, you know, like a dog whips around and starts nibbling at
the
skin.
Yes.
That I would look for fleas. I would look for fleas in that one.
All right.
And I mean, literally, they could be sitting and relaxing. All of a sudden, they turn around like a mile a minute, and they're just going nuts.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Those are the symptoms.
I wish you were my veterinarian, but I don't. You're probably not nearby. You're probably filled up. But anyway,
you can come out to California. We'd love to see you.
Okay. Well, it's a little bit of a trip to have my dog checked out. Anyway. Okay, give me some websites where I can get more information when you're not around.
Okay, the website is youranimalinstinct.com, and that is the best.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Let me ask you one more
thing. All right, thanks, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful as usual. I don't know how you do it. Do you take classes for that? Take classes to be able to tolerate things? You should. You know, I have found in my lifetime, which has been quite lengthy at this time, I have found that tolerance and management of frustration seem to be the keys to happiness. Everybody thought it was love. It's not love. It's maintaining your sanity, which means being tolerant and having a manageable frustration level. And that's why, starting next week, I will be establishing a brand new company. It's called Ron's Tolerance Level Education System. And I'll be traveling the United States doing lectures in large halls and charging people $100 a seat for a two-hour lecture on how they can maintain their sanity and how they can keep their frustration levels manageable. And these people, when they leave my convention, will not only feel energized, healthy, and wise, but they will also get a free pen. That's right. I'll be handing out free ballpoint pens for my Handle Your Frustration Tour. It's going to be quite successful. I just have to start booking dates and doing the marketing and all that kind of thing. And you watch me. You watch me. All right, that's enough. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until then, I wish you peace. How did you enjoy the show? Did you enjoy the show today?
It was unbelievably painful.
I don't care.
Whatever.